It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back into it at Hail Varsity, powered by Cornhead Lager. Let's say hi to the Hall of Fame coach, Gary Barnett, with us, Colorado Northwestern. Coach, how we doing? Thanks for the time.
Oh, doing fine, Chris. Just as we were talking off the air, we're in this mode where we're just about to wrap up everything in Arizona and head to Colorado, and it's sort of in between. You don't really want to leave, but you know you got to go, and you're a little eager about going, but you're not totally sold on it yet. So it's we're in between boxes and emptying refrigerators, freezer. You know how it goes. So maybe you don't know how it goes. You got two places. That's what happens. So.
Well, I talked to my mother, and she's back in Nebraska, but it's been a road trip back. But she gets me updated on the war on leftovers. And I'm interested. Are you a good leftover eater?
Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 No waste. Hopefully.
Same.
I don't have any problems. So,
So I got to ask you this: U.S. World and News Reports came out with the top rankings of states. Nebraska came in number 3. Colorado 16. Arizona 32. If you could live in any other state, where would it be?
Where would it be if I could, other than
the two like really awesome spots you're at, Colorado and Arizona?
I don't know that I would in any of them. I mean, those are the two. You got a little bit of everything, I suppose. I don't even know, Chris. I don't think there's any place else I'd want to. You know, I'll tell you what, we spent some time up in Idaho, and that, you know, we really carefully thought about whether that might be where we spend the summer or not. That seemed really cool. Idaho or Montana seemed fun in the summer, but I don't want to spend the winter up there.
Neither, so, yeah. Idaho and Montana are nice to check out when it's 80 degrees.
Yeah, it was really nice in Idaho. Boise was a particularly nice place. We really enjoyed the Boise area and, you know, actually thought, well, if we were 27 years old, maybe this is where we'd move. So maybe Boise.
Well, that leads us into the football part of things. What'd you think of Spencer Danielson, head coach at Boise, and he is not going to allow freshmen to they're banned from taking NIL dollars that first season.
I don't know how he can do that, but
he's going to try. You
know, yeah, he's going to try, but I don't know how you do that. Frankly, I think everybody's just groping for answers to try to avoid 17 and 18 year olds being, I don't know if the word spoiled is the right word, but being influenced by that sort of thing. It's a, you know, it's a pretty big step, and it's a step that a dad would make, that a teacher would make, hopefully a coach would make. So it's interesting. It'll be interesting if he can make it happen. And probably Boise is one of the places where you can come close to doing it. And I don't know if you've ever spent any time in Boise, but you just walk into that city and you feel it. You feel the energy and the we're going to win and we're going to be good and we're going to do it our way kind of thing. And it's the first time I went in there, you could just feel it. And so, you know, hopefully I hope it works for him. I don't know what he wants out of that. He's just trying to avoid spoiled children issue early on. But it'd be interesting to see how many people transfer it back in there, what he does with the portal. But, I sort of admire him for doing it. I don't want to be him, but I sort of admire him for doing it.
I agree with you, and he doesn't want guys that will take the easy way out. He doesn't want guys that are about handouts, and he kind of lost it. I think it might have been Wednesday, yesterday or Tuesday, with the number of portal tamperings. He hasn't called anybody out. I'm waiting for a coach to just lay out an opposing staff or coach with the tampering. But it's not happened yet. Do you think it actually come to a head here where you're calling out somebody?
Well, I think what'll happen is you can call people out, but I don't think the general population gives a rip.
Sure.
And so I don't know what you're going to get out of it. And until they have an enforceable rule, they have a rule, but until they can enforce it, or there's an organization can enforce it, then all you're doing is crying. And you don't want to step down and lower yourself to doing the same sort of thing, but it's really difficult to go to work every day knowing that there's somebody calling your kids or some agents calling your kids. And it's all done outside of the control of athletic departments. There's no athletic director that would come in and say, okay, let's start tampering. They would all say, no, we don't do that. Well, what happens is representatives of the athletic department start doing the tampering. And, we've started having these huge numbers of employees within the athletic department, and it's really hard to tell what some of them are doing. And so I think that causes a problem. And it's, sometimes the coaches don't even know what's going on. And I believe that. I believe that there's a lot of head coaches that don't have any idea that some of their people are tampering with other players and other coaches' players. And so I don't think there's a single coach that would ever say that's the right thing to do. But when it starts happening to you and you've got to survive, then maybe you do drastic things and allow that to happen. But I don't think there's anybody that thinks that's a good idea or the right thing. But reality is there's really nobody enforcing any of the laws that surround that kind of topic.
It's Gary Barnett with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, I want to ask about Joel Klatt's projection, and it's got his way too early top 25 out. Enjoy Joel's show and like seeing him at Big Ten Media Days when we get a chance to catch up. Interested in your thought. He has Nebraska in his preseason top 25. He's not blowing smoke or hyping up. I think he really looked at this, did some math, likes Nebraska's potential for quarterback play, because last year's, he just, 31 turnovers. He likes Nebraska as a top 25 option. What do you think of it?
You got to understand, he did the Nebraska game last year. He's he's fully aware. And the other thing that is real, Chris, is there is a great deal of respect for those of us, from those of us who played and coached against Nebraska for years and grew up with them. There's a great deal of respect that we all have for the Nebraska potential. And so part of that is what you're hearing from Joe, is that he just respects, everything there so much and the state and how they handle football. So, and all sports. But, you're a quarterback away last year from winning 7 or 8 games. Yeah. Or a quarterback's production away is what I should say, from winning 7 or 8 games. So, yeah, I could see that. And he has great respect for Matt Rhule, I think, as well. So that's really understandable. I agree.
Gary Barnett's with us. Coach, get a wind down. What's your thoughts on the Big Ten power rankings that CBS Sports put out? And you have Ohio State and Oregon, your top two choices. Tom Fornelli did this list, and Michigan at 3, Penn State 4, SC and Washington 5 and 6. He puts Nebraska in at 7. My question to you is, do you wonder about a Michigan drop-off? And adjustment-wise, who out of the Pac-12 that you've seen the last several years is more ready than not for an adjustment to the Big Ten?
Well, I don't think there's any question it's Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And if Kalen DeBoer stayed at Washington, I would say Washington, because they've done a great job there. But Jed Fish is going to do a great job at Washington. So I don't have any questions about that. And, I think everybody in the Big Ten is going to be a little surprised to see how good and talented Oregon, SC, and Washington really are. And so it's interesting to have power rankings include those three teams in the top eight. Is that what you said?
I left off at 7, which is where Nebraska came in, followed by Iowa. Right. But you've got, your three helmets that roll in, Oregon, SC, and Washington, that are in the top 6.
Yeah. So I think that's pretty interesting. It speaks well for a smart move by the Big Ten to upgrade their level. And a level that everybody's always thought was pretty high anyway. But it's interesting that those three teams could come in and be in the top 6 in their projections anyway. So that'll spark some conversation.
Oh, it was fun talking about yesterday. With what Lincoln Riley has done, and he went to the North Dakota State route, and that's physical and tough. And, how quick can SC's defense get better is my question.
Well, they can get better pretty quick because they are loaded with talent. And, you can throw a net outside your room, outside your door, and have as many players as you could possibly coach. And so to have so much homegrown talent and to have access to it, plus be able to recruit nationally, is, everybody wants to be in that position. But, they still have to do it. And I don't think there is – I still don't think that everybody's in love with in Southern California with SC and UCLA going and playing a Big Ten schedule. So it's – we'll have to see. There's going to be part of that too, the wear and tear on travel and the newness and that sort of stuff. But to have three teams ranked in the rated in the top 6, that's pretty impressive.
It's Gary Barnett. Coach, where are you playing this weekend?
Oh, let's see. We got Whisper Rock today and tomorrow, Desert Mountain on Saturday. Haven't decided on Sunday yet, so.
Man. Well, hit them far and straight and putt for some dough, all right?
All right, Chris. Great being with you.